Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you could join us on what is possibly our last online service. We're gearing up to meet in person at the church next week. I'm going to be sending an email early next week in order to give you guys some of the details you'll need to know before you come. And we're going to talk a little bit about those things at the end of the service. I thought before we got into the message, something we should be doing right now is just praying for our nation. So as we're virtually coming together, and I'm going to lift my voice and pray for the things going on in our nation at this time, just wherever you're at, in your home, in your office, if you're outside on your phone watching, just lift your voice as well and allow your heart and the Spirit of God within you to pray for America in this time. So Father God, we pray right now for your peace to fill our nation, for your peace to fill our streets. Lord, that we would be coming together, not coming apart. Lord, that all the lies would be broken down, that we would see what's really going on. And so Father, right now we pray for cities in America that people are rioting. We pray for cities in America where there's even more division because of events that have happened. Lord, we do ask for justice. Lord, we do ask for a police force that's known for justice, and we ask for a media that's known for truth. But right now, God, we just pray that you would touch the hearts of Americans and bring us closer together than ever before, that the things the enemy means to drive us apart would be the actual things that bring us together. Lord, we pray for your churches all over this country. Lord, that as they reset and reboot, Lord, that you would give them wisdom how to proceed. And Father, in the areas where there's unrest, where people are upset, Lord, that you would give those churches the ability to reach those people. And we thank you, Lord, that you're able to move in our nation. We declare your peace. We pray for your wisdom for our leaders, that they can be an example for us and they could come together as well. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just excited to get into the message today. We're going to go ahead and take a second, and I'm going to zoom out a little bit and bring my screen up. And I wanted to revisit some of the things I spoke about 2 weeks ago, put those things fresh in your mind so we could build on them today. So if you remember a few weeks ago, if you missed this, you can get it on the podcast, or also it's on our Facebook, as well as probably our Instagram page, if you'd like to watch this over IGTV or download the audio of it. But I'm going to review a few key points. So if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about unshakable faith. And I talked a lot about just being a people that circumstances don't shake what's happening around them. So we use this verse from Psalms 112. It says, their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady and strong, they will not be afraid, but they will calmly face their every foe until they all go down in defeat. And the highlights of this passage are, their circumstances will never shake them. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, and they will not be afraid. And we talked about ever since the pandemic started, ever since we weren't able to meet together, we've been talking about Isaac, Joseph, and then we added Paul 2 weeks ago. And what I'm just going to refresh your memory. Isaac, there was a famine in the land, and he planted and he reaped a harvest, a huge, abundant harvest. And Joseph had a conspiracy set against him by his brothers to destroy him. And he was thrown in a pit, and they talked about killing him, and they sold him as a slave into a foreign land. And that very conspiracy is what actually saved everyone in the end. And then we talked about Paul, and we're going to review that coming up. But Paul was an amazing person that circumstances didn't seem to shake him either. You know, there's a story of Paul. He's on a ship 7 days and seven nights. There's a terrible storm. Eventually, they run the ship aground. Everyone has to swim to the shore. So 7 days, seven nights in a storm, thinking that the ship was going to be shipwrecked. There is a shipwreck. They swim to the shore. And I know for me personally, and probably for you as well, at that point, I'm just wanting to lay on the beach. I'm just wanting to find a place to rest because we've been in this terrible storm on the ocean. But what's Paul do? Paul starts gathering firewood. Paul steps into the place of the servant and he starts to serve everyone. And as he's gathering that wood, a snake bites him. And it's a viper. And it says in the Bible that the people thought, wow, God must really be angry with this guy. The storm didn't get him. He didn't die in the shipwreck. So the snake was sent to kill him. And because Paul was in faith and he believed that God could preserve him, that snake bite, there was nothing happened. So they were watching, waiting for him to drop over, and nothing happened. So they said, surely this man is a God. And what ended up happening is Paul had the opportunity to share about Jesus. And then in the very next few verses, we see Paul praying for all the sick on the island and them all getting healed. So it's like, what kind of people are we in the face of adverse, in the face of hardship? And so we talked about how we want to be resilient, and resilience is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or toughness. And so we want to have the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. And when we look historically at two things, we're going to look at the church. When we look historically at the church has always, not just our church, the church as a whole, the church through history, the church has always had the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. There's been times in history, you can read about a time in history and in the Bible where the Roman government tried to destroy Christianity, and instead of destroying it, it actually spread. And there's all kinds of examples through history of where a government or a group of people try to destroy Christianity, and what ends up happening is it spreads. So the church is resilient. Christianity is resilient. But also, we live in a nation that's known for being resilient. Our nation has had hardship. Our nation has had a Great Depression. Our nation has been involved in major world conflicts. Our nation has seen more turmoil throughout its history than a lot of other nations. And we've always had the capacity to recover quickly from these difficulties. So I want to put your heart at ease about the church and the nation, but we have to stop and ask ourselves about ourselves. Do we have the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties? So we talked about this a few weeks ago. This is all still just review. And there's a verse in Proverbs 24:10, and the verse says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And you can read that and you can think, hey, that's not me. But it's more likely that in your heart, you realize that maybe that has been you different times in the past. Adversity comes at you. Hardships come at you. And it's like you run, you hide, we refocus, we leave one church, go to another church, we quit one job, go to another job, we give up on some friends, and we find some people that don't challenge us as much. And this is the action of people with small strength. And so we want to look at this. We talked about this. We talked about how, as Christians, we're more like a flower bulb than a flower seed. And this is the difference. I copied this right off a website of a company that sells flower bulbs. And it's this. Flowering bulbs have an important advantage over regular plants. They can store energy from one growing season to the next. When a bulb starts to grow, it uses these stored reserves to develop roots, shoots, leaves, and flowers. Being so self-sufficient means that flower bulbs don't have to wait for perfect weather or ideal soil conditions. By nature, they already have what they need to thrive. And when we look at our list of Isaac and Joseph and Paul, All around them was terrible circumstance, but somehow they were able to develop roots, shoots, leaves, and flowers. They were able to be so self-sufficient that they prospered and thrived in every circumstance. And so that's who we're called to be as Christians. We have God living in us, and that gives us the ability to thrive and grow in any circumstance, regardless of what's happening around us. And so we also looked at some things that Paul said. And in Romans 8:35, he said, "Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, danger, and death threats? No, they are all impotent to hinder the omnipotent love of God." And so then, in a few verses later, troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. And we talked about that's kind of what's been happening in this season. There's just been extra pressure, and that extra pressure actually highlights problems and troubles that we may have been able to cope with and deal with before we had the extra pressure. But none of these things are able to come between us and heaven's love. And so later, a few verses later, Paul also says, "Yet even in the midst of all of these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything." So no matter what the circumstance is around you, have the expectation that God in you and with you can bring about in that circumstance the ability for you to thrive. I heard another pastor talking about how we're all in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. And it's interesting to think about how all our circumstances are different, even though we're going through the same trial. Maybe there's some people that have copious amounts of savings. Maybe there's some people that had to work a ton of overtime throughout the stay at home and shelter order. Maybe there's people that have had just different things come about. Opportunity that some people haven't had. So, you know, as you interact with each other, as we come back together next week, keep in mind that for some people, this may have been like nothing. And for other people, it may have been traumatic. And we want to be sensitive that we all went through the same storm, but we didn't do it in the same boat. And so as we come together, we want to acknowledge that if it was hard for some people, we don't want to play it down. If some people were greatly concerned, we don't want to play it down. And if some people think the whole thing was made up, we don't want to argue with them either. We want to come together and realize we went through the same storm in different ships and understand our similarities and the things that we can relate to and hear each other's hearts rather than stand in the place of judgment. So, you know, today we're going to talk about being thankful and blessed. You know, we talked about Isaac and Joseph and Paul, and we often talk about, you know, believing with God for his promises. And we're talking about today, believing that no matter what the circumstance around us is, we're believing that the outcome is going to be the goodness of God and our ability to live an abundant life and thrive. But I think sometimes we have to back that up a little, because I think sometimes we don't really know what to believe for. So the later part of this message, right now I'm going to share with you 10 promises from God for us from Psalm 112. And so if you have your Bibles handy or something to write on, you might want to write some of these things down. But it's 10 promises from God for us. Go ahead and say "for me." Take it as your own from Psalm 112. And I'm going to be jumping versions. I'm only doing that because I'm using the Message translation, and the Message is more of a paraphrase. So every time I use it, I like to kind of parallel it with one of the more accepted translations. So we're going to be using the Message and the New King James Version. We're going to be looking at most of the verses in both, some of the verses in either or, but I'm going to have them on the screen. But if you could follow along in your own, along in your own Bibles, that would be awesome as well. And again, you might want to write these things down. So Psalm 112 starts like this in the Message. Hallelujah, blessed man, blessed woman. So that's everybody. The blessed man and the blessed woman. God is including everybody. But here's where he starts to sift a little bit. It says, who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments. Now, it doesn't mean being afraid of God. It just means having an awe or a reverence for God, having a little bit of understanding of how great and awesome God is. So we do have that. And I don't know about you. I know for most of us, we cherish and relish his commandments. We look at the things in the Word and we say, all right, I can do that. I'm going to give that my best shot. It's important to me to live my life based on what I see in the Bible. So that was verse 1 in the Message. But in the New King James, it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And so, you know, I think in our culture, we get a little confused because we do have an understanding of the love of God, which transcends our behavior. Now, don't jump down my throat. Don't send me a bunch of emails, but salvation is God's free gift. It's not conditional on your behavior before you receive it. And it's not something that you could just lose easily. You know, we're not going to argue the once saved, always saved, but I think we'll all admit that it would be hard to turn away once you've experienced the Lord. And so we have this understanding of the grace of God, which is amazing. But when we're talking about the promises of God, sometimes you have to position yourself to receive that promise. So when we say, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. There's sometimes the condition to receive the promise. You position yourself by being a man who has a reverence for the Lord, or woman. Remember, blessed man, blessed woman, who delights in what his word says and what he asks you to do. So we're going to jump into these 10 promises. So promise 1. Their children are robust on the earth. And in the New King James, it says, his descendants will be mighty on the earth. So the promise is for your kids to be robust, to be mighty, to be people of influence, to be godly, to be cultural architects, to not be followers, to not be easily dismantled by hardship, to be resilient. And so promise number 1 is for our children. And I get so excited about this because it's not always what I see in the natural, but I have a promise as a blessed man who has some reverence for the Lord and delights in his commands that my children are robust on the earth. My descendants are mighty on the earth. And we're seeing glimpses of this. We want to see even more. So promise number 2, the generation of the upright will be blessed. And I love this because the Bible connects it with that verse about our children. So we're going to go ahead and say, hey, our children are going to be upright and their entire generation is going to be blessed because they are upright. And then we need to think about this. If we're upright, so upright would be living right, living godly, doing your best to follow the commands of the Lord, like we were just talking about. But the whole generation is blessed because you're doing that. The whole generation around you, your whole generation will be blessed because of your upright living. Number 3, Their houses will brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. And then in the New King James, it says, wealth and riches will be in his house. Now, I know for some people, this verse is quite challenging. It really challenges their thinking. But I want to point out that it doesn't say their hearts will brim with wealth. It says their houses will brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. Those two things are very connected. You know, the Bible talks about sowing and reaping and planting and harvesting and giving and seeing the Lord bless that. And so if you're not seeing that in your life, it is a promise that you can have. Your house can brim with wealth. And this isn't just to amass, it's not to amass wealth to ourselves. It's so we can have a generosity that never runs dry. You know, I read something recently about a man who, he was in a jewelry store and he heard a couple talking about how they couldn't afford a $9,000 ring that they were getting engaged and they are getting married and they wanted this very expensive ring. And the man in the jewelry store, out of the abundance, his house brimming with wealth, walked over to the shopkeeper, gave him his credit card and bought them the ring. And so, you know, maybe that won't be exactly how I use my wealth, but I want to always be in the position to meet a need when it comes. And to ask the Lord, like, am I the one to meet this need? And then to be obedient and give out of the wealth and riches, and sometimes even the lack, depending on your circumstance that's in your house. And so as you look at this, if you're younger or even older, you know, don't be discouraged if you're not seeing your house brim with wealth. This is a promise for you to be generous and a generosity that never runs dry. But don't be discouraged. Look at the laws of sowing and reaping. Start to give, start to sow, and you'll be surprised at what the Lord is able to do for you. So promise number four, this is a great one for this season. It's sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. I mean, this is awesome to me. If you're going through a dark time or a challenging season or a season where you don't see justice on the earth, for you, blessed man, blessed woman, sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. So that means whatever season you're in, that sunrise will come. It may not come as quick as we want, but we will see that situation change. Promise number five. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. And so, you know, a lot of times people look at this and think, hey, this is for a businessman, a banker. You know, but we are all stewards over something, whether it's our itty-bitty checking account, whether it's just some little thing we're in charge of wherever we work, whether it's the place we volunteer at the church. And it says, he will guide his affairs with discretion. I mean, it's really the promise of God over your life. You deal graciously, you give, you lend, and God will guide your affair, and you guide your affairs with discretion. And so the promise really is to see whatever you put your hand to prosper, to lean in and see the things that you're in charge of begin to manifest into something greater. So again, I mentioned even the little bit that you steward or the lot that you steward, but also, you know, wherever you volunteer or wherever you work, have an expectation for this. So promise number six, and I love this in the message. It says, no shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. In the New King James, it says, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. And so this promise number six, is actually a reputation, a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. And I love the phrase, like I said, no shuffling or stumbling around. Do you ever feel like you have to defend yourself? Do you ever feel like you have to say and convince people that you're solid and lasting and sterling. You have that reputation. You know, I heard, it's an awesome story. I'm going to give it to you in just a little nugget. There's a man that I listen to, and he prays for a lot of people and sees them healed. And when he was early on discovering how to pray for the sick and see him recover, there was a man who was terminally ill, and he was a young man. And, you know, he had set an appointment to go pray for him, and it became very common knowledge in the small town that he lived in that he was going to go pray for this this other young man who had a terminal illness and was going to die unless he was healed. And so, you know, the day came for him to go over later that afternoon and pray for this young man. And a car pulled up, and a person came out that was related to the sick person with a gun, told him to get in the car, drove him 2 hours away, and left him in a cornfield. And he said that in the whole town, the perception was that he chickened out. You know, and they basically told him, hey, if you come pray for him, we're going to shoot you. You better just stay here. And, you know, he even said that the young man passed away. And, you know, the funeral came and they told him, you come to the funeral, we're going to shoot you. Don't try to raise him from the dead. And so in his town, the town that he lived in and was in ministry in, the whole town thought he chickened out and was not in faith. And he wanted to correct that. He wanted to tell people what happened. But he also felt strongly from the Lord that the Lord was going to redeem his reputation. And so throughout a course of events over more time than I think most of us would have waited, the Lord began to start to expose what had happened. And so when it was exposed, his whole reputation was restored. And so for us, you know, we have a promise that if we are a blessed man, blessed woman, having some awe of the Lord and living with his commandments, that he's going to guard our reputation. And so sometimes instead of being upset or worried about what people may think about us, we can just go ahead and trust God for a sterling, solid, and lasting reputation, and also a reputation that's an everlasting remembrance, that after we're gone in heaven, we're not forgotten. Okay, promise number 7, unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart steady, trusting God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxing among enemies. And I think this really speaks to this promise is really, no matter what they say about you, no matter who comes against you, your heart is ready, trusting God, you're not fazed, your spirit's firm, you're relaxed. How many of us need the promise that no matter what's happening, we can relax because God's taking care of it? Number 8, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. So evil tidings are bad news. Now I know, and I find myself doing it in this season. I think it's almost survival instinct where like somebody tell us how to survive what's going on. And so I find myself looking at the news more, looking at, the different websites, trying to find somebody telling the truth, or at least makes me think they're telling the truth, or trying to find somebody that's not just trying to make everybody else look bad so they're believable. And it's like, that bad news that we're constantly inundated with, you know, we need to not be afraid of that. We need to have a steadfast heart and trust God in the face of that. You know, if a plane crashed, you know what happens. They put the plane crash on the news, you know. But at the same day the plane crashes, probably hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands of planes landed without crashing. They don't put that on the news. So we want to have a perspective when we view the news. You know, when I was an intern at a ministry, and they talked about developing a lens when you view the news. And that lens comes from knowing God, being sensitive to the Spirit, knowing what the Word says, and being able to trust Him no matter what's being said. You know, it's really interesting. You're hearing all this, another great example for now. You're hearing all this news talking about, you know, an impending recession and the recession that we're in. And you know what's really funny? I was reading an article and I saw the statistics in two different articles that last month Americans saved 30% more than they had in March. So in April, Americans deposited 30% more in savings accounts than they did in April. And a cumulative total for all Americans that put money in savings accounts last month was, I want to say it was $4 trillion. Might have been $6 trillion. You guys can check that for me and let me know, I guess. No, but anyway, you know, we're talking about, hey, this economy, hey, everybody's hurting, and Americans were just like, boom, I'm going to save a bunch of money. So, you know, some of that maybe had to do with the stimulus. Some of it might have had to do with people aren't doing anything, so they're not spending any money. So when they received maybe an unemployment check or a paycheck, then they were able to save it. Okay, so promise number 9 out of 10. Oh, hey. I don't know why that slides there twice. Promise number 9 out of 10. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's in the New King James Version. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I think everybody should find a missionary to support. Dispersed abroad. You know, there's really no other way to look at it than giving money to other people in other nations and giving to the poor. And it says his righteousness endures forever. So again, we're talking about a promise from God for you that maybe there's a way to position yourself to receive it. You know, I would love for my righteousness to endure forever based on my actions. And so the actions that I'm reading here are finding a missionary or maybe a child in a part of the world and dispersing part of my wealth that way so that I can see their life become better. Given to the poor, same thing. And the righteousness endures, and my righteousness, which is God's righteousness in me, endures forever. And then in the message it says, they lavish gifts on the poor. And I love this, because it really does take it to the next level. You know, a lot of times we're like, hey, you know, here's somebody that's poor. What do they need? Okay, I'll get them what they need. And that's great. But, you know, lavish gifts is not just supplying a need. You know, so they lavish gifts on the poor, a generosity that goes on and on and on. And so, again, keeping things into perspective, we're talking about, you know, in the world, the statistic is if you have $10 that you can spend on whatever you want, you're actually richer than the majority of the world. You know, and I feel like we're so blessed to be where we're from, to have the opportunities that we have, to be able to work at the places that we work at, to be able to invest in things that we have the opportunity to invest in. And so a lot of people don't have that opportunity. So one of the things to keep into perspective, so the promise of a memory, a generosity that goes on and on and on, and a righteousness that endures forever, you know, based on a simple action of helping somebody less fortunate. Okay, so the last one, promise number 10, an honored life, a beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There's nothing to the dreams of the wicked. Nothing. And I love this, and it is a promise because, you know, the wicked people or wicked people may have schemes. They may have schemes to disrupt our honored life, our beautiful life, an honored life, a beautiful life of the blessed man and the blessed woman. Someone wicked takes a look and rages. They want to mess it up. But they end up blustering away speechless. There's nothing to the dreams. There's nothing to the plans of the wicked to come against you. Nothing. And so, you know, with all that being said, talking about the 10 promises, things we can believe God for, hopefully one of them resonated with you for something that you can begin to believe God for coming out of this season. And that's what I want to just finish up talking about. You know, we're coming out of a season nationwide, worldwide, where we had to reboot. And I love thinking about it as a reboot, because, you know, I think about my computer, sometimes when I'm working music or video, everything's all clogged up, and the only way to really undo that is to turn it off and turn it back on. And, you know, you call tech support and they're like, well, did you reset it? And you reset it, and it works. And, you know, if you're my age, you played Nintendo on cartridges and you used to have to take that cartridge out, blow on it, put it back in, and oftentimes that would fix it. And so, you know, globally, we're coming out of a season where we got to shut down and restart. And one of the things that we want to be thinking about is, as we reboot, as the computer is reloading all the programs, is it loading the things that are important? Or are things just going to go back to how they were? Is it loading the things that we really want to work? Or is it loading a routine that maybe wasn't working? And so for us as a church, it's been an amazing season. We were not meeting in the building. We went probably 4 weeks longer than most of the people in our area. And we had a few really hardcore people coming and hanging out at the church with me and worshiping. And then the decision was made to move online because it was very difficult to include the people that couldn't come. A Facebook live stream was not able to get the message across as well as bringing everybody into an online service where we could, have the announcements run properly and the worship. Everything could go into a nice flow. People could be chatting in the sidebar and then people could visit after. That wasn't happening while we were meeting at the church. So, we did ultimately decide to move fully online. Next week, we're going to start to come out we're going to start meeting together at the church. And when we talk about what we're going to reboot, it's amazing because we also have an amazing opportunity in this season. Throughout the quarantine, the period where nothing was supposed to be happening, where we were all supposed to be living in turmoil and we weren't supposed to be advancing, you know, we found this amazing space in Souderton. We were able to go look at it. Right now, while I'm recording this, they've sent over lease terms. Their lease terms are very reasonable. We had someone take a look at those, and they gave us a few ideas of where we want to change some verbiage. So we're sending them those changes. And so it looks like fairly soon we'll be able to lock this up. And so when we come back together next week, we're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have some coffee to drink. We're going to meet with each other and hang out. But we actually are going to have to start right away talking and thinking and possibly doing what for us is going to be a moving phase. You know, over the Sundays that are in June, we'll come together, we'll worship, we'll spend some time praying, we'll pray for each other, and then we're actually going to move into what will be our moving phase, which means packing boxes, taking stuff out to the dumpster. And I know this doesn't sound like the church that everybody wanted to come back to, but it's an incredible opportunity for us to get moved, and then we can take some time in that new space to find how that space works for us, maybe through some trial and error. Maybe one day we'll face the seats one way. Maybe one day we'll have the tables. And then we can take some time as the church family that we are and begin to talk about the church culture that we want to continue to have. We've had an amazing church culture that's gone through the past of Rock Community Church, but we have an opportunity now together to reinvent that, to be even better. And then we can present ourselves to the new community that we are now going to be a part of in Souderton the way that we want to. So again, probably through June, we'll be moving. I'm looking for people that'll step up and say, hey, I'll be in charge of moving this. I'll be in charge of moving the nursery. And that's basically just thinning out, packing up, labeling the boxes. We're going to have a day probably towards the end of the month. We're going to rent a truck, put everything in the truck, get it over to the new spot. They're going to be changing out the flooring for us at no cost to us, which is amazing. They're going to be making a few other quick changes to the building at no cost to us, which is amazing. Then we'll begin to set up over there. We'll do some trials. We'll get the bugs worked out of our sound system. We'll see how we best fit in the space. Then we'll spend some time talking about who we are and who we want to be in the next season of us as a church. And so I want you guys to be really excited and just have an expectation that the Lord's taking us into something new, and we're going to be able to build off this huge foundation that we've had of what has been. And so, you know, I know that leaves a lot of people with a lot of questions. I'm expecting a lot of emails, but I'm going to ask you just to, hey, just relax. It's going to be all right. It's still the same people that you've been going to church with for years. We're just going to put our focus on that community around us, put our focus on the Lord. And hopefully those two focuses can come together and the community around us can start to know the Lord. So that's the short of the goal. And as we reboot, we just want to make sure that everything that's restarting is what we want it to be and looks and fills the function that we need. So I just wanted to, I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to close out this message with the video of the new space, with Tiffany narrating it. So for those of you that haven't seen it or those that want to see it again, and then we'll just go ahead and if you've already seen it, feel free to log off early, and that'll be it for today. I will see you next week at the church. We're going to go ahead and start at 10 o'clock. And again, check your email early next week to see the different guidelines. Don't freak out about guidelines. Guidelines are things like, use the hand sanitizer before you make the coffee. Now, I know we all have different feelings about what's been happening, but we're still going to take precautions because what we want to do is create the safest environment for the most people to feel safe joining us until there is an all clear from the powers that be. We're going to continue to act in the safest manner we can so that people that come out feel safe. So again, thanks guys for being on today. Let me just close out in prayer and then I'll flow it right into that video. So Father, we thank you for the opportunity before us. Lord, we just pray that you would awaken our hearts of faith to believe that you can do amazing things through us as individuals and through us together. And Lord, we also pray for favor as we move out of the space we've called our home for a long time and we move into a new space. Lord, we pray for extra grace. We pray for extra favor. We pray for ideas to creatively use the space the best way that we can. Lord, we just pray that you would begin to touch each heart, show each person how to lean into what you're doing in this season. And Lord, we thank you that you're already preparing the hearts of the people that will come into contact in the new area, that you're preparing their hearts, that you're drawing them to you, that you're setting up divine appointments, that you're releasing a hunger in them, and Lord, that you're giving us creative ways to connect with them. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.